New accounts of the Stormy Daniels payment.
Funneled through the law firm, and the president repaid it.
Window crack in flight.
We both unbuckled and ran to the back of the plane.
Death reported in E. coli outbreak.
It's very scary, not knowing what's going to happen next.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Home Advisor.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan. A stunning new twist in the story of the porn star, the payoff, and the president. And the revelation comes from Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani. Live to White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
You could say, in one respect, that the president has come clean. Last month, he told reporters he had no knowledge of his lawyer's $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels.
Well, you have to ask Michael Cohen. Michael's an attorney, and you'll have to ask Michael Cohen.
But last night on Fox News, Rudy Giuliani told Sean Hannity that the president has reimbursed Cohen. Giuliani apparently aimed to fend off accusations that Cohen's payment to Daniels violated campaign finance laws.
It's not campaign money. No campaign finance violation.
So they funneled it through the law firm.
Funneled through the law firm, and the president repaid it.
Now, that contradicts Cohen's claim made by his own attorney in March that the president never reimbursed him. This morning, Mr. Trump tweets that Cohen received a monthly retainer, and from those funds, he was reimbursed. Steve?
Well, CBS News legal analyst Ricky Kleeman says there are plenty of questions in the wake of all this.
Is this an in-kind contribution to a campaign by Michael Cohen? Whether or not it is paid back later on in increments by Donald Trump, and then if it's a loan, was there any interest paid? No financial disclosure forms ever showed the loan.
In the latest shuffle on the Trump legal team, Ty Cobb will leave at the end of the month. Clinton impeachment lawyer Emmett Flood is joining up. A tweet from President Trump suggests there might be news soon about three Americans detained in North Korea. Some reports say the Americans might have recently been relocated, and the Wall Street Journal says the captives were discussed when Secretary of State Mike Pompeo went to North Korea. Some people in parts of Oklahoma and Kansas are assessing the damage after a night of severe storms that included apparent tornadoes. Sean Hagg's home in Raytown, Kansas, took a beating.
The house shook, and the windows blew open, and I don't know, it happened really fast.
Well, CBS's Tony DeCopel says the forecast for today is ominous.
The most severe weather today is expected between here in Kansas City and Des Moines, Iowa. That could mean hail, that could mean tornadoes.
The C-130 military cargo plane that crashed yesterday in Savannah, Georgia, killing all nine on board, was more than 60 years old and one of the oldest still flying. It was bound for Tucson, where it was going to be retired. The Puerto Rican National Guard plane was used in the rescue and resupply effort in Hurricane Maria. The plane crashed on a state highway, and Police Chief Matt Libby says the scene on the ground could have been a lot worse.
Had this gone down a couple feet, a couple hundred feet north or south, we might have hit traffic, or we could have hit any of these big warehouses around here, or any of these businesses, or a gas station.
Well, the Southwest Airlines jet that suffered a window crack on a flight from Chicago to Newark yesterday never lost cabin pressure, but it did force a landing in Cleveland and had some recalling the shattered window 2 weeks ago on a Southwest flight caused by engine debris. Passenger Kara O'Grady was sitting just a few feet from the window.
It sounded like when you have gravel hit your window, you know, when you're driving your car and you get hit by construction gravel. It was that same kind of pop noise.
Well, CBS News aviation safety analyst Mark Rosenkirk.
These windows have a number of layers for redundancy. So what we saw here is a piece of that window apparently come off. I do not believe it had a hole in it enough to be able to cause a decompression in the cabin.
A death in California has been linked to the E. coli outbreak that's been blamed on tainted romaine lettuce. 121 infections have been reported in 25 states. There have been more than 50 hospitalizations. Dr. James Keeney has dealt with some cases in Southern California.
Normally, you have to ingest tens of thousands of bacteria to actually get sick. With this organism, 10 to 20 to 100 will get you sick.
People have been told to stay away from romaine lettuce that originated in Yuma, Arizona, as investigators hone in on the source. The Washington Post reports an additional 27 women say they were sexually harassed by former TV host Charlie Rose, 14 CBS News employees, and 13 who worked with him elsewhere. Some of the complaints date back to the 1980s. Rose was fired last year by CBS and PBS when allegations first surfaced. He tells the Post the story's inaccurate. CBS News President David Rhodes says the company has taken steps to deal with and head off sexual misconduct on the job. A Texas teenager is accused of planning an ISIS-inspired attack in the Dallas area. CBS's Dean Reynolds has more on the accusations against 17-year-old Mateen Aziz Yarand.
Officials say he sent over $1,400 to undercover federal agents to help him buy assault rifles, ammo, and tactical gear. His possible targets included a school and a Hindu temple before he settled on Stonebriar Center Mall in Frisco. There he conducted surveillance for weeks.
At the Pentagon, CBS's David Martin has new details on the ambush attack last October in Niger that left four Americans dead.
CBS News has learned Captain Michael Perozini, commander of the ill-fated patrol, objected to a change in mission that sent his team looking for a wanted terrorist. We have also learned the team had been in Niger for barely a month and had not done the traditional in-person turnover with the unit they were replacing and had not conducted sufficient training with the Nigerian soldiers they were operating with.
Well, less than 2 months after it was revealed Cambridge Analytica harvested the data of Facebook users without their knowledge, the political analysis firm says it's filing for bankruptcy and shutting down. CNET's Ian Schur.
Mounting legal costs and losing a bunch of customers as a result of all this bad press, which they've been getting a lot of bad press, basically made it so that they had to.
The company was created 5 years ago with backing from a Republican donor. The TV Academy says it's reviewing Bill Cosby's place in the organization's Hall of Fame after his sexual assault conviction. He's no longer on a list of honorees on the Academy's website, and an exhibit in its lobby no longer displays Cosby's image. Well, there's evidence of some new leeway in a test some employers give to new hires.
Drug tests have become standard in many fields of employment, and if you're applying for a job, there's a chance you'll be asked to take a drug test. But if you were to flunk the test for marijuana use, you might still get the job. A low unemployment rate and the spreading legalization of recreational marijuana use have led many businesses to rethink their drug testing policies, and some are simply no longer testing for pot or ignoring positive tests for marijuana. Jim Shanaby, CBS News.
A study in Finland looked at 1,600 people over 15 years, and the researchers say those who regularly took saunas had a far lower stroke risk than those who went infrequently or not at all. The study author says saunas appear to help lower blood pressure, and that's key. Other studies have found saunas can reduce the risk of heart disease and dementia. And that's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.